This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Good afternoon, family and friends, and thank you for joining me this afternoon on Radio K Pulpit. And I am Renette Meiberg from my program called Rise, and we are on 7 to 9 a.m., and I just want you to really get settled, get a pen and paper ready. We have a very relevant topic this afternoon that I think we often don't like to talk about, and we don't often like to address, or we forget to even think it's important, but it is so important because life is so unpredictable, and we have so many things that keep us occupied and then until it's too late. So this afternoon, I have got Martin John Orrens on my program this afternoon, and he is going to really give us some very sound, solid legal advice on different sectors of often we don't like to think about these things: our will, our inheritance, and a few other aspects that he's going to cover on, as he has gives a wonderful opportunity, and he gives his advice so freely. But he's going to share a little bit of his, where he comes from and why he has a passion for this, for helping people, and how important it is for us to actually be aware of what is going on. And often we don't have the factor that, the left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing. And, we come where we think our husbands are in charge of everything, and then something happens and the woman doesn't even know what is going on in her estate or in the estate, and when her husband passes away, or vice versa for that matter. So, Martin, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon, and we're really looking forward to hearing what you've got to share with us. And I know it's going to be very powerful and very informative, and we're often so ill-informed in these sectors.
It's my pleasure to be available, Renette. I have the same heart that you have. I know you also provide free consultations in your field, and yes. I think that stems from our Christian ethic, Christian service ethic. And just to come back to a little bit about myself, brief background, first of all, I am a born-again believer, and I've been saved by the grace of God for the last 30 years. Bishop Frank Retief of the St. James Church, Kenilworth, he led me to the Lord 30 years ago, and by the grace of God, I'm still serving the Lord. I'm happily married to one wife for the last 30 years as well. And we have two adult sons who both love the Lord, and they and their partners are serving the Lord. And I think for a Christian parent, it's very gratifying when you've raised your children. Obviously, we know what we mean to do. We're supposed to train them up in the ways of the Lord, and so they will not depart from it. So it's very gratifying to go to the glory of God when our adult children are still serving the Lord. So that's as far as my salvation is concerned, my married life is concerned. Yeah. So, I'm not sure if you want to hear a little bit about my academic background.
Yes, we're going to do that straight after this. We're going to just have to play out with something right now, and then we're going to get back to the real reasons what you actually do and why you do what you do. And but we're going to first end up with we're going to listen to something very powerful right now. So we want you to enjoy, but please stay tuned. You need your pen and papers so that you can get some good information on the way forward and how to keep all your ducks in a row and things, matters that need to be attended to. Okay, dears, we'll see you straight after this. Thank you for staying tuned with us this afternoon, family and friends. We are really now dealing with something. My program is the program where we try and give you some informed advice of matters that we don't often speak about. And this is now a little bit of a different take from our side that I normally deal with, but it's very important that families know what is happening when it comes to somebody passing away, about a will. I mean, I've just had, even within my own family, there were certain things that my poor father didn't keep up to date on. And when it came to him passing away, And, you know, it's also got to do with our eras. You know, the husband takes control of everything and then the wife doesn't really know what's going on. And when it happened, my mom had huge problems when it came to her pension and her inheritance. So this is matters, Martin, that I know that you come alongside people and you give that advice. I know you're going to churches. So just give us what you actually do and why you're doing it and what is your background so that people can just understand how important and why you're so passionate in helping, assisting people from, you know, when something happens in the family and a spouse passes away.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you. The pleasure, Lynette. Well, look, in terms of my background to do the work that I'm doing, I graduated from SA Law School almost 20 years ago, and I majored in six particular subjects. Which I believe qualifies me to do what I'm doing. I majored in the following, for instance, the preparation of wills and estates, or wills and testamentary trusts. I also majored in the administration of deceased estates or late estates, if that's the topic we're going to be talking about as well.
Yes.
And then, of course, in terms of the Master's Administration of Estates Act, because when a person is deceased, the death must be reported to the master, and it's also the whole process is governed by the Administration of the State Act 66 of 1965. I also then majored in South African property practice and the law, because in most estates, or a lot of estates, there is a property, and then, of course, there is a process to be followed if the property has to be transferred out of the late estate into the name of whoever, maybe one of the heirs, or it has to be sold. And then, of course, one of my majors was also civil litigation and debt collecting. So, as you can see, from just an academic background, I've got a broad experience in terms of the work that I'm doing. And then, of course, I have been practicing in property. I've had my own property company with real estate agents working for the company, obviously doing the marketing and sales of residential property. And then, of course, right now for the last year or so, I've been working on the administration of late estate, where if somebody dies, I take charge of the whole process on behalf of the surviving spouse or the children to go through the whole administration process.
Yes. So what does that actually look like? You know, what is it that we need to be aware of? You know, often it's, neglected, or it's so old and it's outdated. Our wills, our parents' wills, our own wills. And, you know, we think we only, you know, in our 60s, should we have a will? Shouldn't we have a will? And we don't even think about these things because life just goes on. And so just tell us, what is the most important legal matters that need to be in place at all times and updated? And, you know, even when it comes to divorce, you know, sometimes people get divorced and then, you know, the new wife or the new husband doesn't even know what is in store for them, in the past, in the previous marriage, things that applied there didn't apply here. Then how does that need to be changed? Anything that you can possibly give us any idea of the process and the legal procedures and matters that need to be attended to urgently?
Not sure. Look, first of all, I think what's really important is that the average person should have a will. And the statistics show us in South Africa that about 70% of people die in this state. And what do we mean by that, they die in this state? That means they die without a will. And obviously, if they die without a will, there's certain ramifications to that or certain consequences of that. So that is, when I speak to people, and of course, you spoke early on when you said, Martin, why do you have a passion for doing what you're doing? And the passion is in line with my Bible or Christian values, Christian ethics in terms of service. As you know, our Lord Jesus Christ said, I didn't come to be served, but I came to serve. And so with the skills and the knowledge that I have, especially in the legal field, especially in the field of administration of estate, that's where I choose to empower our people so that they don't make mistakes that, through ignorance, of course, that can cost them. So if you ask me the question about the will as an example, what is meant by a last will and testament. So a will is basically the wishes of the person doing up the will, the testator. In the case of a man, it's a testator. In the case of a female, it's a testator. But a will is basically the expression of what that person wants to be done, what they want to have done when they pass away. And in a will, there are certain key clauses that should be in a will. For instance, there should be the names of the heirs, who it is that you want to inherit. Obviously, at most of the time, it's the children. So if the husband drawing up the will, obviously his wife's name will be in there, the children's names will be in there. So that's one of the key clauses in the will, the full name of the heirs. Then there's the protection of benefits clause. Now, this is a very important clause that our listeners should be aware of. And I can just read to you quickly this clause, what it says. It is a specific condition of this will that any benefit which may accrue to any beneficiary in terms of this will, as well as any income derived therefrom, shall be excluded from legal consequences of any existing or future marriage or relationship. Now, just to put it bluntly or simply, what that clause basically says that if you decide to leave your house maybe, or car, or money to one of your children, that particular benefit that they are receiving or will receive is excluded from any legal consequence of any existing or future marriage. If they should get married in community of property, as an example, and you've left them a house, your future husband, you will not be entitled to a share of that property because that is a protection of that particular benefit. Because you may have a situation where the person knows this person is inheriting a house, and in the case of it's a female, and the man in this case says, oh, this lady is inheriting a house, and I declare his love for her, and he wants to get married to her, and heaven help her if she doesn't know about, and this is another topic that I will talk about later, about entering into a antenuptial contract before she gets married. So assuming they don't enter into that kind of contract before they get married, then automatically they are assumed or deemed to be married in community of property. Now, if that man has got ulterior motives to marry that lady that has got the house, that inherited the house, and he gets married to her, and after 6 months, for whatever reason, he says now he wants to get out of the marriage, because they married in community of property, then obviously he would be entitled to half of that. Mm-hmm. But the protection of benefits clause basically protects her from that kind of person that may want to just marry her because of she's got a property.
Yes,
so that's really important to know for the people to understand.
I hear you. And that is such, you know, so actually a lot of the legal facts can actually protect you. So it's actually in place to protect you. You know, so and you know, if there's any other you know, things that we should know when we are drawing up a will, you know, what are those? You know, especially a wife, does she need does she have the authority to ask her husband what is left in your will, or you know, is it, you know, a lot of people just leave it and, you know, just disinherit their family somewhere along the line sometimes. And, you know, so how do we get protected in those kind of things before the person passes away?
Well, look, obviously the idea or the intention of a will or the purpose of a will is to state, as I've said, in your will, what goes to who. You can make bequests as the testator, the person doing up the will. You make a decision as to what you want to leave. And generally, the testator is, say, the father, and he wants to make sure that he leaves. I've got a case now, for instance, where the lady testator, or testator, she decided to leave her house to two of her children. She had three children, but she decided to leave the house to two of the children. And then the clause states in equal shares. Mm-hmm. So each one of the children has a 50% share in their property. However, the one is living in the property and the other one is staying while she's married, she's staying on her own. But she wants to have her 50% share.
Mm.
So it means that brother, so happened to be a brother and a sister, so that brother has got a choice. Either And this is a conversation I said to the one there that I need to have with both of them, sit down with both, to make the brother understand that, that first of all, the other sister, she's entitled to a 50% half share. He either has to pay her out at the market-related price, and if he doesn't have the money to pay her out, the property would have to be sold, and the proceeds would have to be divided between the two of them.
Mm. So,
the will is the important document where the testator or testator decide what they're going to leave to whoever, mm, and in what proportion. So, and then also in a will, we have to appoint an executor.
Mm.
Of course, you know, the person that's going to be administering the estate. And most of the time, the husband would say he wants his wife to be the executor, but she's got no experience in terms of the administration of the estate act. And that is where they would appoint a company like ourselves, MJA and Associates, to do the actual administration of the whole estate process.
Mm. Okay, I hear you. But at the end of the day, we need to be very vigilant. So either the person drawing up the will should be actually advising them, you know, for the complications that can come with that, mm-hmm, you know, and then is that the role that somebody like you would do?
That's why I say one of the things that we do, one of the services we provide, if you look at that pamphlet thing that I've sent you, we prepare wills and a testament as well. So the will obviously reflects the intentions of the testator, the person that's alive,
mm,
but obviously when they pass on and they've nominated an executor, that executor will be responsible for making sure about the administration. But most of the time, the executor doesn't have the experience, so they then have what they call an administrator, like ourselves. We do the administration process of the estate.
Okay, great, great. Well, that's very good information that you've shared with us right now. I don't want to start a new topic. We'll start after the break. But we're going to listen to something now. And yes, and just enjoy this track. And yes, and if there's anything that you would love to share with us, you know, we have a WhatsApp line, 0817291657. We have an SMS line 37988. A telegram number is 0817291657. And go and engage with us on Facebook on 729 Cape Pulpit. We have an excellent opportunity to see our guests and to see our see who our presenters are. And we also have a counseling department. It's 021-9177-000, and you dial option 1, and you know that gives you an opportunity. If there's anything you'd like to, you know, want us to pray with you, or we can guide you and direct you into the right direction, please contact us. We are available for you. And I would like you to just also go and download our app. If you missed this conversation and you want to re-listen to it, go download our app, and you can get our podcasts, and you can live stream wherever you are, in your office, or sitting at your desk, or even lying in bed. You don't have to have a radio. You can just have your phone and your laptop, and you can just download our app, 729 AM app, and you can get that on Google Play. So please do that. And yes, and we're going to listen to something right now, and then we're going to join Martin straight after this.
Rise with Reinette Myberg, finding God's truth for the way forward together.
Hi there, everyone. So much for staying with us this afternoon, and I hope you enjoyed that. But we have got a very interesting topic this afternoon. We've got Martin John Orense in the studio with us, and he is just going to be sharing with us, you know, some legal matters that we often don't deal with, or we say, oh, tomorrow's another day, and I'm too young to worry about that now. I'm going to live for it, you know, for the next 10 years or 20 years. And it's all relevant and important, and we often delay and neglect these areas that are so important. And when it happens, when real life happens, and then we sit with lot of challenges. So, Martin, you were just sharing with us about how important it is to have a legal will and that everybody knows what is going on in that will. But you also have now, you know, what are the challenges if you die and go into an estate, you know, your will, because there's nothing in place. So what are the problems that can arise from that?
Well, if a person dies without a will, without leaving a will, they die, as we would call it, intestate, or the master's office terms it as intestate. So that means that's a person that dies without leaving a will. So what are the implications of that, obviously? First of all, the heirs or the surviving spouse would have to nominate somebody to be the executor, because there has to be an executor in every estate. If the value of the assets in the name of the deceased is below 250,000, then it's called a J183 estate. Section 183 estate. If it's below 250,000, then you only need a letter of authority to be able to distribute that asset in that estate. But most estates, the value is over 250,000, and because of that, in terms of the Administration of the Estate Act, an executor has to be appointed. So if the person dies in the estate, there's a nomination form that has to accompany all the important documents that goes to the master's office. And then the surviving spouse would have to decide who they want to have as the executor. Often it's either the surviving spouse or one of the children. I've got a case now where the husband went to Erspan, because I think they banked with Erspan. And, you know, all these banks, they offered to do a free will for you. But as we all know, there's nothing that's really free in this world. They do it for you free on condition that they are appointed as the executor of the estate. And they, in terms of the master's tariff, they are entitled to charge 3.5% on the value of the estate. And in this particular case, the daughter was named as the co-executor and the spouse the executor. And after just about a month after the husband passed, the spouse sent them a bill, a statement for 81,000 rand. And the widow, she's over 60, she's not working. She doesn't have that kind of money. The children also are not able to come up with that kind of money. So what I'm saying is this, that it's important for the family or the person that is estate to take all of this into account while they're still alive, to save their family that kind of stress, financial stress. Mm. And what I advise my audiences, let's say when I do the legal information sessions at the different churches, is to say, take out a policy so while you're alive, obviously, so that this, in most cases, you'll find that the whole cost of administering an estate can come to close to 100,000. That if you've got a property of 1 million rand, it can come close to that. So a lot of the people, the surviving spouse or the children, don't have that kind of money. So while you're alive, make provision for that, because otherwise you can leave your family in distress. And the other thing that's important for the listeners to know is that if there's a property in the estate, that property must be transferred out of the name of the estate into the name of whoever, maybe the surviving spouse or the children. But of course, there are costs involved. As we know, for every property that has to be transferred, there's transfer costs involved, conveyancing costs, besides the master's fee. So what I like to stress when I have the meetings with the audience or the congregants of the different churches is to say, let us do good financial planning. And so that's part of it. And even a will, by the way, a will is already a part of financial planning, if you think about it.
Yes, it's important to have that in place. Actually, first,
Precisely. So that's already a form of financial planning, where you are saying, look, this is what I would like to happen when I'm passed. But on the other hand, we all know the administration costs. As I've mentioned to you, the tariff, the master's tariff, is 3.5%. So if you just say if the value of the property in the estate is 1 million, that's already 35,000 rand.
Yes.
That's excluding the cost of transferring that property into whichever name. And that I find is often the case why people often will tell you my space took about 2 years or 4 years or five years.
That is the problem. Yes.
Because the people are not prepared for it. The surviving spouse is not prepared for it, or the children are not prepared for it. And so they don't have the money to finalize the estate. That also means that if there's a property in the estate that's got value, but purely because you don't have the administration costs, you're not able to transfer it. And you also need the master's consent, by the way. In terms of part of the process, you need the master's consent before you're able to transfer a property out of the related estate.
I hear you. And yes, so at the end of the day, you would suggest, what is the process of getting assistance, and how do you include everybody to understand that they, you know, what is actually happening before it actually happens, you know, before a death takes place? Because at the end of the day, we need to, the whole family needs to be informed, am I correct? And you know, some people, you know, have a lot of wealth, and, you know, at the end of the day, they don't want everybody to know, but it's actually very important because the implications, as you said, I mean, I know of somebody it's 3 years with the whole COVID story, and 3 years and all her things are only coming through now, you know, and there were little loopholes and the children started picking that up. And so the new wife, you know, she was the second wife and started not getting what she was supposed to. And so those kind of legal factors are always a challenge, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. You see, but I think, as you said earlier, it starts off the person when he's alive, or she, he or she is alive. In terms of good financial planning or estate planning, as we call it, is to sit down with somebody like myself, an advisor, and say, look, this is what I have in mind. This is the assets that I have, and these are the heirs that I have. And this is what I would like to apportion or bequeath to whoever. And that's where we sit down and we prepare that document. So number one, the person that the estate or he'll have peace of mind. Secondly, when the wife is left behind, she knows exactly what needs to happen.
Yes.
And she's got peace of mind. Mm-hmm. And then also I would obviously find out, have you got money for the administration of this estate to depart? And if they say, well, they're not sure, I would say, let us take out a policy that when you pass, the policy pays out all of the money that is required to finalize your estate and have money over for day expenses.
Okay. So you see, those are things that me personally didn't know anything about. You know, if I think of, those little tweaks that we actually not informed on. And this is not about making, the broker making money or your advisor making money. This is actually just getting the ball rolling, because everybody suffers at the end, and, things just go pear-shaped. And then you want to know why there's so much complications and family feuds, because that always, I cannot tell you how many, estates have just ended up in so much division and so much confusion and so much disarray, And when you look again, hundreds and thousands of rands have gone lost in transition because of all the legal fees, and this hasn't been in place and that's not in place. So, Martin, I'm going to leave us with that last question. If there's anything else you'd like to add, I'm going to give you the same opportunity just to continue with this part, because I think it's very important. So we're going to just have, we have to take a break now, and we will join Martin straight after this. And thank you for staying with us so long. And but stay with us till the end. As you know, these are really things that we need. We're so ill-informed on. So we will join you right after this. Okay, great. Thank you so much, Martin, for joining us again this afternoon. It's so important for this topic that we don't often talk about and we just neglect. and let go by, and we think it will one day get sorted out. But you really mentioned something very important in during the break about the fact that, you know, when an inheritance is in place and, you know, and then somebody is staying in the property. And so just give us the complications of that, you know, and how do you get, you know, that navigated and sorted out?
Well, what we have to do, remember, every estate has to be reported to the master's office. And there's one of the documents that the companies, the reporting documents to the master's office is the next of kin affidavit. Now, the next of kin affidavit obviously says who are the next of kin of the deceased.
Yes.
So all the children, their names are mentioned. So the master has got sight of who the next of kin is. So whoever stays in us and feels he's entitled to stay there and it belongs to him is clearly wrong, just from a legal point of view.
Mm.
So we, let's say the surviving spouse appoints us to administer the estate on their behalf. We would then report the estate to the master, and we would then communicate to that one person staying in the house that you only have a part share in it. Let's say there's four children, then you have a 25% share in it. So it's your right to decide to pay the other heirs out, pay them out, and then you are obviously would be the sole owner of the property. If you don't have the money to pay them out, then obviously we would have to put the property on the market.
Nice.
And advertise it at a market-related price. The property would then be sold, and then, of course, the proceeds would then be divided between the heirs.
Okay. All right. Okay. So tell me, you know, would this sort of apply in a divorce as well?
Well, depending on how they were married, if they were married in community of property, then the divorced wife would be entitled to 50%. Yeah. So then, let's say there's two children, and there's the divorced wife. But because she was married in community of property, she would be entitled to 50% share in that property. So let's say the property sells for argument's sake, 600,000, she would be entitled to 300,000, and the other 300,000 would be divided between the two children.
Okay.
This one would then get 150,000.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And then, and you know, there was something else that I would like to have asked. What about trusts, you know, when there's a trust? And, you know, maybe your will has been outdated or, you know, things have not panned out like you would like to. So what would come in the case of a trust?
Well, a trust is like a legal entity. It's like a person, a legal entity into perpetuity. So if the property is in the name of a trust, obviously the trust would be the owner of that property. And so often you would find that let's say it's a husband and wife. I mean, let's say I've got a family trust. Let's talk about a family trust.
Okay.
And so myself and my wife, we are the trustees of that particular trust.
Mm-hmm.
So we can then decide in our will, of course, as to say who's going to get the benefits of that trust when we pass on. So, as I say, a trust is a living, legal entity.
And is that a recommendation that you think is a good thing to have?
Well, let's put it this way. It's like when a couple gets married now, this is quite interesting. If you have a trust, the purpose of a trust is to protect the assets against creditors. Now, for instance, let's say you've got a property that's fully paid for because you only put something into a trust that's an encumbered, meaning fully paid for. So let's say you buy the property and your business is going well and you're able to buy it cash. My advice would be put it into a trust, a family trust or an investment trust, but preferably a family trust. As I say, we've got two trusts. One is a family trust and one is an investment trust. So you put it into the trust, which means if anything happens in the future, and who knows the future, business goes bad, you've got creditors that is demanding payment from you, and they want to attach your assets. If the property is in the trust, a valid trust, and it's fully paid for, the creditors can't touch it. which is protected by law.
Mm,
and the same comes to when a couple gets married. Our advice is, one of my pastor friends, he says to me, you will not marry a couple unless they've got a prenup agreement in place or an antenuptial contract in place.
That is a brilliant idea. You know, I wish pastors would care for people that are marrying, because I can tell you, we had that, with my daughter, and they were given the same advice and said, no, until all those papers and legalities are in place, we're not going forth with this setup. So that is wonderful. That is absolutely wonderful. So, Martin, how can anybody get some free advice from you if there's any way that they can contact you? So just give us your contact details and your cell phone number, and as well as your email address, please.
Of course. Okay, my WhatsApp number, so that's easy for them to obviously communicate with me. They can just pose me any questions and I will reply. My WhatsApp number is 083-523-4701. I'll repeat that. 083-523-4701. That's my WhatsApp number. Then if they want to send me an email, maybe they've got a long question or detailed question.
Mm.
Obviously, then it's better to send me an email. They can email us on info@NJA&Associates, one word, full word, or lowercase, info@NJAandAssociates.co.za.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Martin, for giving us this advice. We will have you shortly on again with some other questions that we would love to address as well. And may the Lord just continuously use you mightily for the advice that you give to everybody so freely and so willingly. And I know you move around with great passion to assist people from having not get have these complications and a lot of trauma and, you know, as it is, it's such a difficult thing to deal with, the end of the day.
On that point, if any of the listeners would like me to come out to present the free legal information session at their local church, they can obviously speak to their pastor, and their pastor can contact me on the same numbers that I've given in terms of my email address.
Fantastic.
Or they can phone me, and I will obviously then liaise with their pastor, and we arrange a schedule. And we assist them by providing up, the saints. For me, the important thing is to empower the saints. There's a scripture in the Bible that says, it's for a lack of knowledge that people perish.
Amen.
And that's part of my passion, is to use the knowledge, the skills that God has given me to empower the saints with no obligation on their part.
That I love, absolutely love. It's for the love of it and helping people. So thank you so much for your service, and may God just continuously use you mightily for his kingdom and his glory. And family and friends, I think this is my, just go and revisit your status right now, of where you're at, what you have, what you don't have, and get those things in place. And as I said, Martin is happy to share some good advice with you under no obligation. Not advertising his company. This is for the love of empowering and serving people and serving the Lord's people. So thank you so much, Martin, and bless you. And we will meet again. And family and friends, thank you for joining us this afternoon. Be safe, stick to the rules, and we'll see you next week. Same time, same place, and have a wonderful, blessed weekend.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.